Well, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. We have Alex Broby with us, and Alex has written three fascinating books. I am asking if she would take time to share with us her latest book. So, Alex, thank you for joining us, and tell us the title of your book and maybe cover some chapters.
Sure, Eddie. It's my pleasure. Hello, everyone. So I had an idea a couple of years ago. It came to me that we always want to focus as fundraisers on what makes us successful. And there are lots of books out there on being successful. And as gift planners, for those who are gift planners, we know that there's also some technical expertise. There's an element of that in there too. But what I realized is before we get to the technical level, so we can just exist to be a fundraiser, we need to have some skills that really help make us successful. And these are tried and true things because they've made me successful so far in 21 years of fundraising. And so as Eddie said, I wrote a trilogy of books. It was not my intent to write three books, by the way. I intended to just write one. And as I wrote one, it was about eight pillars of success. And I was halfway through that and I thought, you know, there are a couple more pillars of success. And I wrote a second book, and that's called Zen and the Art of Fundraising, Eight More Pillars of Success. And I should share a couple of the pillars with you. What do I mean by pillars? Yeah, I mean things like this. The very first one sometimes is even hard to get past. It's hard to get past the first one to the other 15, I've heard. The first one is being in the moment. And being in the moment means it's the most important pillar. That's why it's the first one. But until you are in the moment at that critical time, the time that you're with or about to be with a donor, whether it's on a Zoom call these days or on the phone, or preferably the best way, which is in person, you need to really be there and not just give it lip service, but you need to be in the moment with that person to the point where I've heard other fundraisers describe it as the rest of the world tuned out and it was just you and the donor having that conversation. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple more that I talk about: listening, compassion, curiosity. Those are the first four. Listening is a really important skill for being successful, because if you're not hearing what the other person is saying, how can you respond to that? Mm-hmm. And listening is also really hard. Listening is active. People think listening is a very passive thing. You just sit back and listen. But no, when you're listening, your mind is actually functioning. Think of those old days for some of the old-time fundraisers on the phone when you went out somewhere on a trip and you might have visited with three or four or five individuals or couples in a day. At the end of the day, you probably didn't even want to speak anymore and you probably couldn't remember your own name. And why is that? Because you really exercised your mind listening. And that takes an awful lot of energy if you do it right. So those are some of the pillars. And there are 16 pillars of success. And those I described in books one and two. And then what I realized is I was challenged by a colleague to really find a way to draw these out. You know, these pillars are great, Alex, but can you give me examples of how this can help you be successful? And I responded to that and I said, sure. And that's what book number three in my trilogy is all about. So this book is entitled Zen and the Art of Fundraising, The Pillars in Practice. All of these books are available on Amazon or at your favorite bookseller online. And this particular book really focuses on how we apply these pillars to everyday scenarios that fundraisers find themselves in. Whether it's a blended gift, whether it's trying to figure out how to broach a subject, whether it's dealing with a frustrated donor. I even talk about how to work well with your colleagues and how these pillars can help you be successful. And I end the book with a focus on something, a term I made up called an inverse mentor, how to deal with inverse mentors. So a mentor is someone that you learn from, right? We all have them. Hopefully you still have one or two, no matter how long you've been in the field. And hopefully if you've been in the field for a while, you actually are a mentor to a couple people. But an inverse mentor is that person who you learn from, just like you learn from your mistakes. You learn from inverse mentors by not doing what they do and not following their lead, because you know in your heart of hearts, based on your experience, that they're not helping you. They're not after your best interest. And when you watch them do something and goof up, learn from that. Don't be the one who has to make the mistake. Watch what someone else does and learn from that. And the thing is, we don't go looking for inverse mentors. They're in our lives. Sometimes there are supervisors. There are colleagues. There's someone in a group we know. they're in the office next to us or across from us, or they're someone we have to work with in our organization. And these are the type of people that you need to learn to work with, and you can still learn something from everyone, whether they can teach you something that you want to follow or whether they can teach you something that you know is not right.
You know, Alex, what I was, this is interesting that you're bringing this up, because I met with a young man yesterday, and I suggested to him that the most important lessons I have learned are things not to do, and that I always kept a file of people who have been my supervisor or peer who made mistakes, and I'd write those mistakes down so I could avoid them. I think that is a brilliant strategy you just mentioned.
Yeah, and I've never actually thought about writing them down, Eddie, but that's not a bad idea. I mean, look at it this way. There's probably an unlimited number of mistakes that can be made, right? And right. We don't each have to make them all. We can allow other people to make their mistakes, and then if they're willing to share them or we see them, we can learn from them too.
You know, Casey says all the time that we build a great company based on all of Eddie's mistakes. There's a lot of truth to that, because I've made a lot of them in my 40 going on 44 years. Well, I hope that people will buy your book, because it's insightful and it's practical, Alex. It's practical. It's something you can learn and apply. So tell us one more time the name of the book and where they can get it.
Sure. So the trilogy is called Zen and the Art of Fundraising. And there are three books. And the third one, that contains practical examples and stories of everyday situations, is called Zen and the Art of Fundraising, The Pillars in Practice. And I'm still learning, and I reread my books once in a while and remind myself of why these pillars are so important and how they can help me be more successful.
Alex, you're a great professional. Thanks for taking time to do this. We encourage people to read your books. And Alex, thank you for sharing with us. I really genuinely appreciate it.
Eddie, thanks so much for the opportunity.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you again on the next podcast.